Well, hi, neighbors. Tonight we've chosen some of the songs that we sing and play on our dances across the country. Songs that reflect the emotion of the people that live in the nightlife. Song of happiness, sadness, heartbreak. Songs of the nightlife. We hope that you enjoy yourself tonight as you listen to our latest one. We hope you like it. It's a little different than what we normally do. But we hope it'll be pleasing to you. And we hope that you can just kind of sit back, kick off your shoes, relax just a little bit, and listen to our latest song. And if you like it, tell us about it, won't you? We'll try to do more things for you.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and see. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Jesus, meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in, my Lord. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
In the great book of John, you're warned of the day when you'll be laid beneath the cold clay. The angel of death will come from the sky and claim your poor soul when the time comes to die. When the angel of death comes down after you, can you smile and say that you have been true? Can you truthfully say with your dying breath that you're ready to meet the angel of death? When the lights all grow dim and the dark shadows creep, and then your loved ones are gathered to weep. Can you face them and say with your dying breath that you're ready to meet the angel of death? When the angel of death comes down after you, can you smile and say that you have been true? Can you truthfully say with your dying breath that you're ready to meet the angel of death?
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, for inwardly they are ravening wolves. Let me tell you a tale of two children, of all children. Once upon an evil time of hunger and depression in our land, they lived with their mother Willer and their father Ben Harper in a house by the river, cradled and comforted in the green arms of the great Ohio Valley. Their town was called Cresap's Landing, and the boy's name was John, and the girl was Pearl. Now, Ben Harper was a good man in an evil season, a hungry season. And one day he took a gun to the bank where he drew his pay each week, and he slew two men. Wounded, he fled homeward with a stolen fortune, praying in his broken mind and body that this money might someday prove provender for his loved ones, that these 10,000 plundered dollars would shield his children from the cold shadow of want and need that had chilled his own time on earth. And even as the police car screamed close behind him down the road to his home by the river, Ben hid the cursed, crinkling treasure in his little girl's doll. And he made John swear, and he made Pearl swear, that they would never tell, that they would never, never tell. And he made John swear that he would guard his little sister's life with his own if need be. And John swore. And they took Ben away and sentenced him to hang. Now, by a strange and unholy chance, there happened to be in the same prison cell with Ben Harper a man called Preacher. Ben was to hang, but Preacher would go free soon. All Preacher had done was to steal a car. Preacher was not a bad sort. Preacher was a man of the Lord at heart. You see his hands? Look at the fingers, the tattooed fingers. The fingers of the left hand spell H-A-T-E, hate. And those of the right hand spell L-O-V-E, love. No. Preacher is a man of holiness.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning.
But wait, let me tell you a secret. Wandering through the river towns for a decade, this false and evil prophet has murdered and robbed a score of women. Foolish, lonely widows who saw in him a man of God and a refuge from loneliness. Of course, it was really all right. Preacher used the money to spread the Lord's gospel. The Lord didn't mind. Now, when Preacher found himself in the cell with a man whose wife was about to become a widow, it set his wits to itching and his fingers to yearning for the quick, whispering switchblade knife, which was to him Jehovah's wrathful sword. And Preacher's sly nose twitched at the spoor of easy widow's money once again. Where was the money? He would ask Ben again and again, but Ben will not tell. He will never, never tell. And when at last he is hanged and Preacher goes free, what do you suppose that Preacher's quest shall be? It is a night of ghostly river mists at Precept's Landing. A stranger has arrived on the midnight train. Now he stands, staring by the street lamp, wondering behind which of the dreaming small-town windows his quarry sleeps. John and Pearl lie side by side in their feather bed, and Pearl asks John to tell her a story. And John begins a tale of kings and castles and the azure seas of far-off Africa. The light of the street lamp shines a square on the bedroom wall, and now John spies, shadowed plain there, the figure of a man upon the road by the street lamp's yellow shine. But it is only a shadow, and it is gone now, and the children sleep. And in the morning, the sky is shining bright, and the wind is fair, and all is well. It's the sort of day to visit old Uncle Birdie, who runs the wharf boat by the riverside. Uncle Birdie, a most astonishing, a most remarkable man, John's favorite friend by far. And John has need of friends these days, when the children of Precept's Landing dog his heels down the sleepy river road, crying their cruel children's chant of Ben Harper's hanging. Leave them behind you, John. Find solace and kindliness in the cozy wharf boat of the old river man, this grizzled custodian of the great river herself. Go to the wharf boat of Uncle Birdie, John.
Thank you.
A visit to Noah's Ark could hold no more wonders for John than this. Fishing tackle and rainbow-tinted lures, tales and banjo tunes of river days gone by. Times when the great boats towered like castles of lace along the river shore. Mornings when the voices of their whistles made the glad land ring round with the joy of sound like the throats of great cathedral organs. Hey! One of the last of them passes now in mid-channel, and old Uncle Birdie grabs John's shoulder and squeezes at the thrill of that grand old sight. In the days to come, John goes more and more often to the wharf boat of his old friend, for a stranger has come to Cresap's Landing. A stranger who spends the long twilight hours in the ice cream parlor where Willa Harper works. A stranger with lettered fingers and eyes as hard as marbles. A stranger whose sweet voice lifts in the grand old tunes of salvation.
Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms.
What's wrong with John? He hates the stranger. That's curious. Everyone else in Cresap's Landing finds him wonderful and shining with righteousness. Everyone else knows Preacher as a man of the Lord. But John senses upon his evil, tattooed hands the scent of greed, the scent of evil, the scent of murder. But is it fair of John to be so selfish? Not to want his pretty widowed mother to be charmed and courted by such a suitor. Lonely, widowed Willa. Pretty Willa. Poor young widow trying to take care of her poor orphaned lambs. An impudent, sassy John hates the charming stranger who would help her. Hates the nights when he hears the stranger whisper of treasures hidden, of plundered banknotes cached away somewhere. Where? Where indeed? And who's to tell? Not John. John has sworn to that. To never tell. To never, never tell. And the days pass, and the nights go whispering through the Green River spring, and Willa and the stranger wander hand in hand beneath the trees, together in those evenings when John guards Pearl against the whispered threats against their bedroom windows. And the memory of that first black shadow on the wall the night the stranger came to town, and John keeps his trust, he holds his sacred oath. And when Preacher and Willa Harper go down to Sisterville on their honeymoon, John knows with even greater sureness how firm is his resolve. He will never tell where the money is hidden. He will never, never tell. For Willa, it is a time of love and of salvation. Her new husband has taught her that her love for Ben Harper has been a love of the flesh, and her love for Preacher is the love of souls. Willa thinks it is her salvation that Preacher seeks, but John knows better. It is the hidden money that Preacher seeks. And then one soft spring night, Willa returns home from the ice cream parlor unexpectedly and hears Preacher in the parlor of the dark house talking to Little Pearl. Willa listens, believing, not believing. No, it couldn't be. The money is gone. Ben threw it in the river that day. No, Preacher wouldn't be asking Pearl about the money, pleading, whining, cajoling, threatening. God would not let it be so. The Preacher had married her for that. Now Willa is alone with Preacher. The children sleep. The house ticks and moves softly in the darkness. Willa Harper lies in the bed, harking to Preacher's words as he stands by the window in the moonlight with the quick knife ready in his hand. No, she thinks, it cannot be. God would not let it be so. And Willa closes her eyes and prays silently. Preacher moves now at the bidding of his Jehovah, strides swiftly to Willa's bedside with a quick blade glinting in his fist. In the night, John wakens. He harks to the sound of the family car somewhere down in the fog. The whinny and catch, the whinny and catch. As someone tries the starter and then the chatter as the motor catches and the sound of the car fades into the river fog, into the stillness of the cricket-laced midnight. And she, who had loved so well and so unwisely, see her down there beneath the river's limpid depths. Uncle Birdie, out for a morning's catch of fish in Ben Harper's old skiff, catches his line on something and leans forward in the boat's bow and spies the car beneath the water, far below in the shadowy depths. See her there, old man. She who loved so well. See how her hair drifts dreamy and gentle as river grass, and see the fresh new mouth slashed so neatly beneath her dreaming chin. Look well, Uncle Birdie, at the woman who once was Willa Harper, beloved of Ben, mother of John and Pearl.
To know the same thing everyone. out that the ring was a fake. A tree born crooked never grows straight. She sunk like a hammer into the lake. Long lost letter in the old leaky boat. Promises I never meant to keep. And I want to know the same thing. I want to know how's it gone to the end. The barn leaned over. The vultures dried their wings. The moon climbed up an empty sky. Sun sank down down the tree on the hill. There's a killer and he's coming to ride. But maybe it's the father that lost the girl. It's hard to tell in this light. And I want to know the same thing. Everyone wants to know how's it going. $20, his body found stripped, cast into the harbor there and drowned. And I want to know the same thing. We all want to know how's it gone to him. The sirens are snaking their way up the hill. His last call somewhere in the world. The reptiles blend in with the color of the street. Life is sweet at the edge of a razor. And down in the first row of an old picture show, an old man is asleep. The credits starts to roll. I want to know the same thing.
Thank you.
Hide now, my lambs. Hide yourselves in the cellar of the deserted home while Preacher prowls the upper rooms, sniffing, searching, calling your names. Hide well, my lambs, for the game is nearly played out. You are alone and helpless, and the hunter draws nigh.
John Bitspel, be still.
She who fancies it is a kind of game they are playing. And John harks to the sentried pace of the hunter in the upper rooms and knows that the time of showdown has come. And still he knows that he will not tell, that he will never tell. Now the pleasant voice of Preacher in the doorway at the top of the cellar steps, how could he have been so long a guessing that his sly little party would have chosen the cellar for their hiding place? And now for a little talk, no more secrets. And Preacher learned soon enough from Little Pearl that the money he has sought throughout the long evil months is hidden in her doll. So it's douse the candle, John. Grab Pearl's hand now, John. Remember your vow, boy. Run. Quickly. The hunter's frothing close upon your heels. Up the steps and lock the door behind you, boy. Run, John, run, Pearl. In God's name, run. The night of the hunter is at hand. Run, children, to Uncle Birdie's wharf boat. He's your only friend in all the wide earth now. Run down the silent streets beneath the hunter's moon to the waterside, to the wharf boat of Uncle Birdie. But alas, this last friend of all cannot save you on this haunted hunter's night. Uncle Birdie lies sprawled, drunken and dreaming in his straw tick in the wharf boat, dreaming of the face of Willa Harper with her hair drifting soft, soft in the moving waters. So what now, children? Footfalls of the ravening hunter ring sharp on the cobblestones of Water Street. One chance left, my lambs. Remember Ben Harper's skiff, the little boat Uncle Birdie used for fishing? It rests now in the mud of the shore along the riverbank 100 yards downstream. One last chance, John. Take Pearl's small hand in the doll with its cursed treasure and run to the boat, John, to the boat, quickly. Already the swift razor-edged blade of the madman's knife glints in the moonshine. Hear it whisper as it slashes its way through the brush, filth, and vines upon your very heels, John. Push, boy. Free the boat from the clasp of the shore. Quick, boy. He's nearly to the water's edge. And the boat swings free and twirls on the waters like an autumn leaf, caught in the warm and saving arms of the great river. And Preacher stands, outraged and bare-fanged in the shallows, and helplessly watches his quarry drift away. And his throat shapes the outcry of a creature thwarted beyond reason, a voice as old and as terrible as the devil's own. Safety, and a moonlit vision of the sleeping children in their small ark of safety, and Pearl cradling the precious doll in her small arms, dreams a child's gentle dream.
Once upon a time, there was a pretty fly. He had a pretty wife, this pretty fly. But one day she flew away, flew away. She had two pretty children, but one night these two pretty children flew away, flew away.
And so they dream, these two wanderers upon the lonely earth, upon the dark river, haunted yet by the footfalls of their pursuer, drifting, drifting on the warm waters, floating southward past the little towns and farms, while behind them on a stolen horse, the hunter follows the river's winding, knowing that sometime, somewhere, they will come ashore and he will find them. It is a hard world for little helpless things, for the wandering child, for the third small rabbit on the river shore, crouched helpless before the owl's feathers, murderous fall. For rabbits and for children, and never for either John or Pearl so haunting a reminder of the lost Willa as the night they went ashore and heard a lullaby beside a lamplit farmhouse window.
Hush, little one, hush, hush, my little one. Morning soon shall light your pillow. Birds will sing in yonder willow. Hush, my little one, hush. Hush.
And then a night when, weary of river dreams, the children seek shelter in the hayloft of a barn among the river hills. A night of breathless moonlit brilliance. Yes, a hunter's moon hangs high. And suddenly John wakens in the straw, stunned and quaking with dread at a voice he hears faint in the moonlit distances.
Safe and secure from all alarms, leaning.
And far away on the river road, John sees the black silhouette of a man on a horse riding slowly, patiently on his way, the hunter hunting in the night, the one who never sleeps in his unceasing quest. And it's onward, in exodus again, to the river, to the boat, to the endless quest for safety, for home. And then one bright morning, a miracle of miracles, the boat is beached on the shore, and a staunch, gaunt, warm-eyed farm woman stands watching the children a few feet away. Old and yet ageless, widowed a full 40 years, Rachel Cooper. Rachel Cooper. There has never been a time in the quarter century since her own children left home that her house has not echoed and rung to the laughter of homeless children she has taken in off the river roads. Rachel Cooper. A strong tree with branches for many birds. Tough as an axe handle. Soft as love itself. She feeds her brood until they are rosy, scrubs them till they smart, spanks them when there's cause, and tells them the Lord's tales on bright Sabbath mornings. And so it seemed to John and Pearl that at last they had found a haven from the hunter. And John, shy and mute though he may be, came and stood with the others, Pearl, Clary, little Mary, and Ruby. Ruby, 16, and wanton and rounded, fond of town on glittering popcorn Saturday nights when neon burns like sin above the soda fountain, and the redneck farm boys wink and whistle softly in the love-warm April night. Ruby, enthralled beyond words by the stranger. Stranger in a black hat and frock coat with a passion in his eyes and lettered fingers of love and hate. Ruby adores him at once. He is different. He is not like the red-necked farm boys. And does Ruby know of two little children named John and Pearl and a doll? And Ruby smirked and flirted and cracked her gum and said she did indeed. They had come to live with Rachel Cooper only that past week. Ruby, Ruby, ghost of Willow in her way enthralled by the snake-like majesty of the hunter with the tattooed hands. And so the final siege begins. Rachel Cooper, sensing in a flash the evilness of Preacher, drives him from her dooryard with her steady shotgun. Comes crawling in the night like a ravening fox. She wounds him and calls the police to fetch him away to jail. Safety and love. Christmas comes, and love comes to those so long unloved, so long unwanted. Christmas with a swirling snow like the white wings of small angels. And presents for all, a watch for John, a bright brooch for Ruby, presents for all. And the night is no more, and the hunter is no more, and love and faith are come again into their child's kingdom, And now Rachel, like the good, kind queen in a Christmas fairy tale, sees and marvels at the brave, good hearts of little children. Now she thinks the children are man at his greatest moment on earth. Lord, save little children. They abide and they endure.
Pass me that lovely little gun, my dear, my darling one. The cleaners are coming one by one. You don't even wanna let them start. Knocking now upon your door, they measure the room, they know the score. They're mopping up the butcher's floor of your broken little heart. Now for what we've done, started out as a bit of fun. Here, take these before we run away. The keys to the gulag. And poor old Jim, they're gathering round with all my friends. We're older now and the light is dim, and you are only just beginning. Answer to all your fears. It's short, it's simple, it's crystal clear. It's roundabout and it's somewhere here. Lost amongst our winning. Good as new, and they're lining up to inspect you.
Cheers.
Jim's white as a ghost. He's found the answer that we lost. We're all weeping now, weeping because there ain't nothing we can do to protect you. In the north where the cold winds blow over the prairie gold, there's a church bell screaming on the steeple high. Gather ye children of men, one hand on the trigger, one hand on the cross. Jesus and his family are two things he's lost. To your scaffold and string him up on high. The call came out from the crowd. There's blood in their eyes and blood in their hearts, for the blood turning dry on his hands. With one hand on the trigger, one hand on the cross, Jesus and his family are two things he's lost. Listen to me, my wayward flock, he cried with a noose round his neck. I spoke to the Lord on the mountain top. His bidding was all I could do. Spoke to the Lord on the mountain.
mountain top. His bidding was all I could do. Because, oh Lord, your work's been done now. Show me heaven or kingdom come. Because, oh Lord, your work's been done now. Show me heaven or kingdom come. Cross. Jesus and his family are two things he's lost.